for Health presents To Your Good Health Radio. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and Dr. David Friedman.
Our next guest serves as the editor of the Journal of American Podiatric Medical Association. He's a fellow of the Infectious Diseases Society of America, where he serves on the Diabetic Foot Infection Guidelines Committee. He's a sought-after lecturer on all aspects of the treatment of the lower extremity infections. Here to tell us how to take care of our feet, welcome Dr. Warren Joseph to the show. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Hey, welcome Dr. Joseph.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
That's great. You know, whenever I assess someone's back, hip, or knee condition in my office, I always look at the feet first to rule out an issue, because our feet, they're the foundation which everything else rests on. I've seen problems caused by undiagnosed foot conditions, which leads to compensation of their hip and back. Share with us a few things we can look for to recognize perhaps an underlying foot issue.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole concept of the foot is the foundation, especially when you're doing all of that walking and when you realize that about a quarter of all the bones in the human body are located in the foot. So it is vitally important that people are aware of their feet, and not only the patients themselves, but also the physician. Because as you mentioned, you look at the feet because it can have an effect all up and down what we call the kinetic chain. It can affect your knees, it can affect your hip, it can affect your back, and it can affect your neck. But also, if you've got, let's say, diabetes, and my specialty tends to be infectious diseases, or is infectious diseases of the lower extremity, and patients who have diabetes, for instance, can't feel that there's a problem with their feet. So they need to be particularly careful about examining their feet and making sure that there are no sores on their feet, and looking in their shoes and making sure there's no foreign bodies in their shoes or nails that have gone in their shoes. And it's also important for their physicians to be checking their feet because, well, let's face it, as we get a little bit older, maybe a little wider around the midsection, it's not quite as easy to look at the bottom of our own feet as we perhaps would like to. And it's a little bit of work, and we tend not to do it. So not only is it important for the patient to keep very aware of what's going on in their feet, because it is going to affect the rest of their body, but also when they go to their doctor, they've got to make sure that their doctor's also looking at their feet. I'll never forget the first time I went to my current primary care doc. When they closed the door, there was a big sign that says, "If you have diabetes, take off both your shoes and socks." And that's just important, really, for everybody.
And, you know, you mentioned shoes and socks. Some people walk around without them. What about people that walk around barefoot? I know our feet are very vulnerable to infection from bacteria, microscopic worms. What steps can somebody use, actually, who runs around barefoot? What can they do for keep their feet safe?
I'm not a big advocate of running around barefoot, even though, listen, I'm guilty of it. I'll run around at home. But as simple as that might sound, you know, you can't run around barefoot and you could injure yourself. Think about it. The other day, I was just walking around the house. We happen to have three cats at home. And as I'm walking around the house, like, oh, man, I just stepped on something. What is that? Well, it was some cat litter that one of the cats happened maybe to have brought up on their foot from the basement.
Right.
And that hurt like a son of a gun.
Yeah.
So it's really not a great idea to be walking around barefoot ever. You know, we think about don't walk barefoot outside, don't walk barefoot on the beach, don't walk barefoot, you know, just on the street. Some people actually run barefoot. I don't get that at all. But I don't like it because you can get puncture wounds, you can get skin abrasions, which then get infected with bacteria, and you can actually develop toenail fungus. So you have to be very careful. I'd be a little bit aware of not walking barefoot and maybe making sure that you've got shoes on and you're keeping an eye on your feet.
Right. I read that over 35 million Americans have this. Many of them don't even know it. What are some signs? How do people know if they have toenail fungus, and what can they do?
Yeah, some other statistics. Only 6 million of those people have actually even been diagnosed by a doctor, and only about 2 million receive treatment every year.
Wow.
So the numbers are really pretty staggering. The toenail fungus tends to present as discoloration of the toenail. There is what we call subungual debris. So in other words, you get some crusty stuff building up under the toenail. You can get an odor. So you kind of get like a moldy sort of odor coming from the toenail. It's just not a particularly pleasant thing. And most people write this off as just, it's a cosmetic condition. It just doesn't look good. I don't look at it that way. Because my training is infectious diseases, I look at toenail fungus for what it is. It's an infectious disease. It can start in one part of one toenail, spread to the rest of that toenail, can spread from one toenail to other toenails, from other toenails to other parts of the body. So you can get fungal infections not only in your toenail but in other parts of your body. And this, if that wasn't enough to really scare you, it can go from one person to another because some people are genetically predisposed to develop fungus. So what I would suggest is keeping an eye on your feet. This gets back to the whole theme of what we're trying to cover. Keep an eye on your feet. If you start noticing any discoloration, well, you know what? Get to your doctor. Get to your podiatrist. We specialize in foot care. Have them make a diagnosis. There's all sorts of laboratory tests that can be done. And if you have toenail fungus, there are some good therapies. There are two new topicals that have just been approved in the last year by the FDA. We've got Curdin and Jublia. I know people have seen a lot of these TV commercials out there. These work very well. If you've got the condition, you diagnose it, get it early and get it treated early. Keep it from spreading. But for the more severe cases, if you've let it go, if you're one of those 35, 36 million people and you've kind of let it go, you might be talking about taking pills for the treatment of toenail fungus.
Right. I want to ask you one of my big pet peeves I want to get your feedback on is high heels. When patients come in complaining of back pain and hip pain and they're wearing these 3, 4, 5-inch heels, what do podiatrists think about high heels and how it affects the health of a person's feet?
Oh, okay. Well, you see, you put that little caveat on there. If you were just going to ask, what do we think of high heels, I'd have to say, we love them because we get a lot of patients from them. They are a problem. And listen, we're not going to stop women from wearing high heels. I don't think that's possible because it's physiologic. High heels make the leg look good because they relax the gastrocnemius muscle in the back of the leg. So it lends shape to the leg. High heels lead to very shapely legs. Mm-hmm. And I walk around and I'm in an office here now, an office building and from where I'm making this call. And okay, I'm guilty of looking at those nice high heels and those nice legs, but you're right. They're devastatingly bad for the foot. When you think about all of the pressure, you've got a 3-inch heel, 4-inch heel, 5-inch heel, and especially some of these stiletto heels. Think of all the pressure that should be spread throughout your entire foot now going up through that little stiletto right into your heel. Think of all those pressures from your foot being crammed into that toe box and all the pressures under the metatarsals and on the toes, because your weight is all now shifted forward from the high heel. So, listen, we like them because of the way they look. We like them because they definitely give us business, but they're not really good for you.
And Melanie, they make you look taller. What's going to happen now? You're going to have to stop wearing high heels.
I just think heels are the subjugation of women. Men invented them. Men wanted us to wear them so that we would have those shapely legs. I hate high heels, but yes, I am guilty of wearing them because I am so short. What about you, Dr. Friedman? You like a little heel lift in there?
A couple boots every now and then, you know.
No kidding, right?
Gets me a little bit closer up where I can actually get some water from the
Dr. Joseph, we are just out of time, and it's great information. We love to talk feet here on To Your Good Health Radio, and it's such an important topic. And thank you so much again for great information. If you want to listen to any of the information that you heard today or share with a friend, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Oh, I almost stumbled there. And you can also follow Dr. Friedman on Twitter at Dr. David Friedman. And that's what it's all about, is sharing these shows with your friends, learning so much. And as you know, Dr. Friedman is so interesting to listen to and a lot of fun as well. This is Melanie Cole with Dr. David Friedman. Thanks for being with us today. Stay tuned and stay well.